What up? We back. We back,
What's
man.
good?
It's your host, Terrell Barnes.
It's your man, Julius Borm here, coming in, man, checking in live.
Episode two.
Episode two,
We
man.
back.
All money in. All money in, bro.
What's the name of the episode?
The name of the episode is All Money In, No Money Out. You know
okay.
What I'm saying? A very popular slogan if you tapped in to my man. Very popular slogan.
Y'all know where we're going. Y'all know where we're going with that, you know. Before we get into it, man, give him the mission statement, man.
Yeah, I got you, man. Here we go. All right. Inspired Youth is a podcast dedicated to empowering the next generation through financial literacy, wealth building, and entrepreneurship. We create a space to learn, exchange ideas, and push financial conversations forward, equipping young people with the knowledge and mindset needed for lasting success.
Yeah, man. And as always, this information on this podcast that we share is for educational and informational purposes only. We are not financial advisors, and nothing discussed should be taken as financial advice. Always do your own research and consult with a professional before making any financial decisions. And always invest wisely and use your best judgment. All right, man. All money in, no money out.
Yes, sir. All money in, no money out, man. If you're not familiar with the music, if you're not familiar with the motto, if it's not ringing the bell, please, please do yourself a favor and go run through the catalog, Nipsey Hussle's catalog. It's going to be very important to your development. Just as a human, you know what I'm saying? As a somebody out here operating in 2025, the man left so many jewels, and this is probably one of the biggest ones that he left, is All Money In, No Money Out, which was the name of the label that he had, but was also the slogan, the motto behind the brand.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into it, man, explaining, breaking it down, a lot of it, and, you know, putting various spins on it, because it has a plethora of different meanings for real.
So, piggybacking on last week, you know, those topics we discussed on Close the Wealth Gap, you know, we're gonna break them down. So, you know, all money in, no money out, this is a consumerism conversation. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna get into it. You know, when he created this label and this slogan, of course we know it was the name of the label, but it was also a way of life. You know, this how he was living, and we align with that from the very beginning, you know. Saving money, you know what I'm saying? Having sacrifices, investing the money, especially into your community. You know what I mean? He was a model of that. He did all that while he was alive, and you see it still flourishing after his death, you know, and just promoting overall self-sufficiency, right? So all that ties into that conversation of consumerism, okay? And you know, just another example of that is all money, not just all money in, but all money in the community. You know, that's like a double entendre right there. We want to keep as much money in the community as possible, especially right now, man, because it's been a long week, right? There's a lot going on out here, right?
Yeah, man. Look, the bottom line of it is this. We got to start keeping the dollars circulating within the community. You know, we all know that we have to spend money outside of the community. You know what I'm saying? Most of your major chain grocery stores, most of the places where you buy your clothes, most of the places that you interact with, you know, your gas stations and all these things, these are mainly not owned by your people, right? And so we all know that. So it's impossible to spend 100% of your dollars or, you know, inside the community in which, you know, that looks like you, inside your community, right? However, you know, we're at a time and a place where we have to be way, way, way more intentional with spending
Absolutely.
Our money inside of the community.
Absolutely. But, yeah. Absolutely, man. And yeah, man, that dude up there in the White House, man, it's been a long week for America, man, you know? It's a lot going on and on and off again, you know, this tariff situation. And this ain't a political show, but, you know, this stuff affects the economy. So, you know, we got to touch on that type of stuff because it's important, man. A lot of people want to know how it's affecting them. They're looking at the stock market. The stuff we've been seeing this week with the stock market is scary, right?
Yeah, man. Hey, look, this is where, in my opinion, this is where we see the most. I mean, you know, we got a lot of talk about, you know, Elon and cutting spending and a lot of stuff that they're talking about now that's reverberating throughout the news. And, you know, it's a lot of change happening real fast. At least that's how it feels. A lot of things changing, a lot of things being said, a lot of information being, you know, passed around real quick right now as Donald Trump is putting in so many executive orders. But like, for, you know, the place where I feel like we feel it the most, or where we can most accurately see what's going on, is the stock market. And yeah, the market is, you know, started off very hot as soon as he got into office, and it has really hit a big drop since then. A lot of instability, you know, with the tariffs and the news of the tariffs and exactly how it affects us here and affects us there. And, you know, that's where we're starting to see a lot of the ramifications from some of the things that he's putting into place, is you're starting to see so much volatility and, you know, things going to the downside in the market. And so it's kind of, you know, so especially for somebody who's not, you know, who's just beginning investing or just starting to learn, is you're looking at it like, wow, I'm glad, you know, kind of getting scary. The water's getting looking a little choppy outside when it comes to, you know, the market and stuff. And it's like, damn, did I make the right decision? You know what I'm saying? Is this the right time and all that? So it's a lot of questions. But like I said, it's, you know, a lot of volatility going on in the market. But we just got to stay patient, man. At the end of the day, you know, he's doing a lot. And a lot of it's going to be a lot of fallout behind it. But please, please just stay invested. Continue to buy up these companies that you know are going to rise when it's time for, you know, the market to swing up, because it will be on the upswing. That's just how it works. That's, you know, definitely some information that we got to get across. Like, please do not, just because things are looking bleak right now, just because you see a downward trend, does not mean that it's not time to invest. Because really, this is how we turn our money over and really win for the long term.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity for sure. I'm with you on that. But it's for sure, it's a war going on outside. You know what I mean? It's a trade war. And a lot of people, you know, that already had their portfolio, you know, with stocks like Nvidia, you know, they're upset right now. And it's pissing a lot of people off. You know, a lot of people's portfolio took a hit. Really, not just the past week, the past 2 weeks, you know, but I'm hoping that, you know, people hold and they just not panicking and just selling off. But if you're not in the market, you know, we're approaching the time to go ahead and get in right now, because a lot of these stocks are seeing record lows. I know Ian was saying the other day, he recommended people get into Nvidia right around, what was it, $105? Once it goes below, I think it was at 111 the other day. So you know, that's gonna be very soon. So if you're looking to invest in chip stock, which is a smart thing, because that is gonna do well. It has to. So I would go ahead and jump on that now. You know what I'm saying? If you got the means to do it, I know we're gonna do it, and you know, it's a perfect opportunity to go ahead and get in, you know, why it's down.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I guess one of the basic rules is that you never buy in a high, you want to buy at, you know, as low as possible. And, you know, right now where you're starting to see, you know, good companies fall right now to lows and, you know, start, you know, being on a downward trend for over weeks, you know, you want to get these companies now, you know, do as much as you can, as much as you possibly can. This is when you want to jump in. You want to try to get these companies that you know are going to turn things around over time. You know, you're looking at it from a long-term perspective, not the short-term perspective. It doesn't matter what it looks like 6 months from now, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You're going to wish that you had invested in that opportunity. We don't want to keep being caught in the situation where, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now, this company is, you know, $230, $240 a share, and it was $105, $108, $109, and you just never took the opportunity to get into it because you saw it was trending downward. And that's just not how it works. Yeah. You know, like, we're not financial advisors in any way, but common sense is common sense. And we got to start learning these things. We got to start applying these things if we want to really close the wealth gap, because, like, that's the main objective that we want to do, is close the wealth gap and, you know, add more wealth amongst our community so that we can start to change things, may see significant change, because you can't depend on the government to give you significant change. They're not going to do that. I think they've already proven that that's not the way they choose to go. And so you got to do it yourself. You got to do it for self, man. That's where we at with it. Like, please, you know what I'm saying? It's just take it seriously right now, man. This is the time, for real.
Yeah, man. And a lot of times I think people, they don't want to ask for help. So that, you know, that it's a pride thing. You know, you got to have humility to be able to ask a person who's where you want to be, how they got there, or how can they help you to get there? You know, so a lot of times I think people's pride get in the way of them doing certain things or asking certain questions because, you know, they feel like they don't need the help, or, you know, they just too prideful to ask for help. But, you know, we're going to be bringing guests on who are going to help, you know what I mean? If you have certain questions, you know, if you want to know how to get into the stock market, or you want to know about AI, you want to know about, you know, real estate, you know, these things, we're going to have people on that's going to be able to help and advise, you know, professionals and advise people on where, you know, where they may want to ask questions at, but they may, you know, just feel like, you know, they don't, you know, their pride gets in the way of that. So a lot of people got too much pride to ask for help from the people that have proven that they can help.
No, that's, you know, that's real, man. That's a real thing, especially amongst us. It's definitely a real thing, you know, just, you know, being afraid to, or just having too much, like you said, too much pride to be able to see somebody who is in a position that you want to be in and say, hey, man, you know, can you give me some game? Or just asking advice, paying for a sit down with some of these people that come into, you know, that are traveling and giving out information. Sometimes we just look at it like, you know, we'd rather take the free route. You know, I'll just figure it out on my own, or, you know, I'll do the research myself. It's always good to do research yourself, but at the same time, you know, we're not putting enough faith into the connections that are built by asking questions to people who are, you know, in a position that you want to be in, people that are people that have this information and that are, you know, giving it out. They're traveling, they're already successful in these fields. Like, there's nothing wrong with being able, like, we got to lower our pride. We got to stop acting like we too, you know, like we can figure it out all on our own, man. And, like, really, you know, really, you know, humble yourself.
Yeah, man.
Humble yourself and talk to people, man.
Yeah, because steel sharpens steel. Like I was telling you, I talked to Zaya Burke the other day, you know, and he's in real estate, and, you know, I saw what he was doing. And when I saw it, I'm like, you know, I got to have a conversation. We got to sit down with him so we can politic about it, man. And he agreed to come on. So, you know, he's flipping homes, and I'm sure he had a mentor that showed him the game. So, right. You know what I mean? In order for us to close the wealth gap, man, we got to pay it forward. You know what I mean? I talk about that all the time. You know what I'm saying? If people actually pay attention to stuff that I put on my social media, I put a lot of stuff on my Instagram story. You know, these are ways to live by. And I know that if we can be consistent with this stuff, eventually we can close the wealth gap. But it's going to take some unity. You know, do you think that we can have an economic resurgence without unity?
No, definitely not. It's not possible. I spoke on this last week, you know, as far as just us pooling our resources together. And, you know, we have been to the point where, you know, we've already seen what we can do. What we can do as individuals. We have so many people that, you know, every time they have an idea about something, or every time they want to go about something, they have something that they want to do, they have something that they want to pursue, they have, you know, an idea or, you know, a product, right? And they always go about it, you know, for us, we going about it individually. You know, we don't really seek help. We don't really try to put other people or empower the people around us to, you know, help us accomplish a common goal. But when you see all the powerful people, you know, really in this world, they all have a very good infrastructure of people around them that makes this thing go. They can't do it by themselves. And so we got to have the unity amongst each other. Like, we have to start intentionally, you know, having unity. A good example of that is intentionally spending your dollars with the people who look like you inside your community, the people who are entrepreneuring, the people who are providing jobs. Like, please spend your money with these people. That's kind of how you unify your dollars. You spend your money with each other. You know what I'm saying? You empower the people around you. Empower your friends. I know we all say that, you know, don't go into business with your family because, hey, man, that's one of the worst things you should do. Family is, you know, they don't know how to act. And they you know, they feel, you know, enabled. Like, feel like you're enabling them and instead of things of that nature. But really, it's really not like that. We all have people in our family who just, you know, are not in the position or mentally just not to the point where they can help you. But it is people in your family that can help you. There's people in your family. Absolutely. It's your friends that you have that do have their stuff together. Like, build with those people, empower those people with, you know what I'm saying, so that y'all can start accomplishing these goals. And that it won't be so, you know, you can't put everything on one person.
Absolutely. Like, when you go to the fish market, seafood market, to get some food, who in there? Who in there? It's some Asian people, right?
Every time.
They related. You know what I'm saying? That's a family business. They related. Man. You go to your
grocery store. Go to your corner store. These people are employing their friends, their family members. These people, like, you know, we spend money at the poppy store, spend money with Ock at the corner store, you know, the gas station, man. Look, they got their family working there. They got their community working there. Like, we should be on the same type of time. There's no reason why we're not.
Yeah, bro. You know, I remember a story that I think Black Sam was telling a story about how him and Nip, they would always go to this Shell station. And I think the owner was a Black man. And they said that he had the only Black business on the block. And if I'm not mistaken, they bought that store, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. They bought that store.
Man.
And they had I think they still got it, the hair store, right?
Yeah, look, the Nip opened up so many businesses, and he was like that, you know, I wish that we could, I wish that information, you know, his social media from around that time, I wish that we, you know, we still have access to that information, or just, you know, have access to some of the stuff that he was documenting on his social media, man, because he was opening businesses, you know, a hair business, you know, they had the barbershop. And, like, this is the type of infrastructure that we got to have inside our community, man. Like, we have barbershops. We always support the barbershop, for sure. Like, if we don't do nothing else, we're going to get that cut. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go to that barbershop. But, like, also, you know, when you have Black-owned hair stores, go over there.
Absolutely. You know, I want to see more Black-owned hair stores in our communities and not Asians running these hair stores. Because, you know, our women are the ones going in there patronizing the stores. 100%.
We definitely spending all the money in there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so we should own that. You know, our women, they know about the hair. They know about the product. You know, they should be the owners of that. And the fact that in our community for decades after decades, it hasn't been that way. That's a problem. A lot of these different cultures come in our community, and they opened up all these businesses, and who's spending the most money with them?
Yeah, that's us. That's us for sure. You know, our ladies spend the most money, or spend, you know, I would, it's probably about 90, 95% of our money is spent, you know, in the Asian hair stores. Or, you know, when we're talking about hair stores, we're talking about wigs and weaves and hair products and all that. Like, we ain't in Sally's like that. You know, we in these Asian stores for the most part, you know, these beauty supply stores. And shout out Queen's Crown Beauty Supply, there from around here. Then they got a spot in Newport News and one in Hampton. It's a black-owned beauty
Shout out.
supply. You know what I'm saying? So look, spend your money there when it comes down to it. It's just mainly just the mindset behind being intentional with spending with the people that look like you. You know, we gonna eat. Hey man, you know, we the same way we patronize the black-owned barbershop and the black-owned restaurants, which is good. I'm glad we're doing that. But like everything that's black-owned, we need to patronize as much as possible. If you can get it there, get it from there. You know what I'm saying? If you can't, then you don't have no choice. But like if you can get it from somebody who looks like you, please buy it from somebody who looks like you. You know what I'm saying? It's
Hey,
definitely going to be beneficial in the long run.
bro, I agree with you 100%, man. And I hate when I get on social media, bro, and I see us bashing a black-owned business. You know, we had conversations about this, right? Why do we do that? Like,
Oh man.
why do we do that, bro? Go ahead, get into it.
Hey man, I think as me personally, I just think it's just part of the self-hate thing. But like, it's nothing that makes me more upset than when I get on social media and I see somebody say, and they always start it the same way every time. They're gonna say, "See, I try to spend my money with black-owned business, but," and then they get to running down how everything went left, and they would never go back there, and they not doing all that. And every time that's how it goes. Like, why? But at the same time, you get terrible treatment from Walmart. You get terrible treatment from Target. You get terrible treatment from these other places. Like, you have nothing bad to say about these places on your platform. But you want to get on your platform and criticize the people that look like you. And that shit really pisses me. I'm sorry. Sorry, excuse me, language, but that really pisses me off. The fact that we gotta do that. Yeah, you don't have to, because you had, please let's be clear, because you had a negative experience at a black business doesn't mean you should speak about the negative experience on your platform. Like, it's just that
Y'all gotta
simple.
stop that.
Y'all gotta stop that, man. Like, that,
I gotta
we gotta
stop it,
stop.
man.
That's too
You
much,
gotta
man.
stop it. Yeah, it's counterproductive. Hey, and I'm gonna just leave it at that. All right.
Yeah, man.
I know that's a touchy subject. You know what I'm
Yeah, man.
saying?
It really grinds my gears, man. It really grinds my gears. You know what I'm saying? Like you took your time out your day to really get on your platform, or however big it may be, and criticize the black-owned business. But you never get on your platform and criticize the white-owned, the Jewish-owned, the Asian-owned business. If you do, it's very few and far between. You never get on your platform and do all that. And you still go spend your money there. You don't never say, "I am never coming back and spending my dollars here no more." You never say that. You never say it. You're gonna go back and you're gonna shop again. You just gonna find a different one.
You know, some people are gonna disagree with you.
I don't care, man. I don't care. Like, it's clearly, look, man, we beyond the point where we need to be openly. We have to stop being so openly critical of each other. Like, what we don't gain nothing from being overly critical of each other.
We
Like,
don't. We only
we
lose,
don't,
bro.
like,
That, and
just.
that's what they want. When you really think about it, that's what they want. We gotta stick together. At the end of the day, we have to stick together. And right now it's probably the most crucial time. We can't afford not to, because the system wasn't built for us to win. It was built for us to lose. Feel me?
Hey man, that's a fact. That's an absolute fact, man. Look, they've shown you time and time again that it's set up for your oppression. Now, whether you wanna you know, we can sit here and run down the years and years and years and years and years of history and programs, systems that have been put in place to oppress your people. And, you know, we all know them. They've been talked about ad nauseum, you know what I'm saying, ever since slavery and Jim Crow and all these other things. We talked about these things. You know, the information has been out there. We've been talking about it. But at the end of the day, it's like, what are we going to do about it? As opposed to just talking about it. And like, one of the things that you can stop doing is you can stop deflecting business from people who in your community who look like you because you had a bad experience at that business. You don't need to deflect anything from that business. If you choose not to shop there no more based on the experience you had, that's cool. But that has nothing to do with you trying to publicize your frustrations and deflect business from the platform. Like, come on, bro. That is counterproductive to the community, to really the community progress. It's counterproductive.
You got back into it.
man, look, it really be having me tight, man. It be having me tight because we the only ones that really do that. Like, it's so stupid. I just don't understand.
Yeah, man. So, we got to pool our resources, of course. We got to stick together and we got to decide on an individual level what sacrifices we're going to make and how intentional we're going to be with our spending, because we can't tell you where, you know, what to spend your money on and what sacrifices to make in your own life and in your own household. But we can always just make recommendations on how we can improve as a whole and as a community. So that's what we're going to do. And on an individual level, you got to decide, hey, you know, maybe I should cut down a little bit on what I'm doing over here and focus and be more intentional about my spending over here and be consistent with it, you know, for the long haul.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. You know, Nip had a phrase that he used to say, and he used to say, sometimes you got to get ugly and eat. And, you know, what it meant was, yeah, sometimes you got to stop spending money on clothes. Sometimes you got to stop getting fresh. Sometimes you got to stop going out. Sometimes you just got to make a hard line sacrifice and really put the money where it's supposed to be. Be real intentional with putting the money where it's supposed to be, not spending it on getting fresh, not spending it on, like, we have to do certain things we have to do. But there's a lot of things that we can sacrifice on. And when we start taking the time to be like, okay, You know, people always say, what they gonna do when they pop, you know, they gonna stack up for the summertime, right? Or, you know, they gonna pop out in the summer. You know what I'm saying? They gonna grind till they pop out in the summer, right? But like, how is that productive? What's the purpose in grinding all winter to spend all the money negatively, or, you know, to spend it frivolously in the summer, to stunt? Like, man, look, really lock in and take the time to put money where you need to put it at and sacrifice on your spending so that you could, you know, build your wealth up. You can have that nest egg. You could figure out these plays to set yourself up for long-term success. You know, you have to do that. It's a certain level of sacrifices that got to be made amongst each other. That, you know, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to get our stuff together, is by making those hard line sacrifices and putting money where it's supposed to be, as opposed to spending it where we in a consumer space where we're spending the money here, spending the money here, going out here, doing things that don't have no long-term benefit whatsoever.
Nah, and we got to get out of that consumer mind state. You know, everybody has their bare necessities that they're going to have to purchase on a regular basis. I get that. But on a large scale, our community is more so in a consumer mindset than it is in an invested mindset, You know, we are more so focused on spending money on liabilities than we are with growing assets. And as long as we're focused on that type of stuff, we're never going to grow wealth. We in the wealth gap just going to get even wider. It's going to get worse. We got to start accumulating assets and cut down on the liabilities. You feel me?
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, because I mean, we don't got access to a lot of stuff that a lot of people do. Like you were saying earlier, other communities help each other and they stick together. You know, if somebody can help somebody get to a different position in life, that's what they do. I had a meeting a couple weeks ago with an e-commerce guy, and he was a big beginner in that space. And he just told me about a guy that he met, I think that was in like San Diego, somewhere in California. And the guy just mentored him and helped him, helped guide him through the business, taught him the business, and then guide him to a point where he was self-sufficient and he could teach others and pay it forward. And that's what people do in these other communities. And we got to do more of that. How do we grow if we can't do that? If everybody always want to do everything on their own and lean into their own understanding, it's impossible.
Yeah, man, we got, you know, that's one. I think that's a lot of one of our challenges. A lot of the challenges that we face is, you know, seeing each other as competition all the time. And it's really not about competition. You know, if you are who you are, you have your own, and nobody can replicate, you know, what you are or what you bring to the table. Like, you are one of what, we're all one of one. But, you know, we enough with the gatekeeping of the information. Like, we don't want to gatekeep the information, and we don't want to be the ones that are afraid to ask or afraid to seek, for afraid to talk to, afraid to a lot of times pay for this information that we need to take our step to take this thing to the next level. Like, you know, we so far behind that we can't afford to just all keep doing it individually. Like, it's going to take a collective of us to get it together. Like, if you can clearly see that in, you know, almost every other, you know, race except for ours, you know, you can pretty much see it in all the other, you know, everybody else. Really, like, it's really not too many people that I can think of that's really not kind of pulling themselves together, pulling their resources together. You know, when you see that, you know, you see they businesses, it's all of them every time for the most part. Like, unless you're talking about a major scale business, like, come on, man, we have to do the same thing. Like, we don't have the access to funding like they do. So when you don't have access to funding, well, it's hard to get things on the ground. It's hard to get things off the ground if you don't have access to funding. Well, if we was working as a collective, it would be a whole lot easier to have access to funding than it would be if we was all trying to do it on our own. And, you know, like, this is something, these are things that we can apply. You know, these are things that we have to start thinking about and putting into, you know, putting into action so that we can help ourselves in the long run, for real.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. It can't be on some just self, you know, all for self. We got to lean on each other. And we're not in competition. You know, you're not in competition with me. I'm not in competition with you. We're not in competition with Earn Your Leisure. You know, we look at them like as mentors. We don't even know them dudes, but we look up to them. You know what I'm saying? We learn from them. You mentioned gatekeeping on that album with Larry and 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz said, "I don't gatekeep. I want everybody to eat." And that's exactly how we feel. And we've always been that. You know what I mean? When somebody come to me for some information, bro, I just give it. You know what I'm saying? I don't expect anything back. What Nip said, I forget the song, bro. Follow my steps. And you see what I'm about? I keep my money coming in and never going out. Like, if you go listen to his music, like you said at the top, he giving you the game. He's literally telling you how you can be financially free, how you can be self-sufficient, how you can give. He's literally giving back to the community in the music for free. And we learned that. We picked up on that. What was this? Like 2007?
Yeah, 2000, probably about 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
You know, man, look, Nip really changed. If you just go back and just go through the music, man, he really changed our mindset when it came to a lot of things, man. He was putting so many jewels in the music, you know, that it was hard to deny, man. He was painting the picture so well, but he was dropping so many jewels and so many, and so much motivation that he given for somebody who out here trying to go for something. If you out here trying to go for something, you out here trying to build something, if you want something for yourself and for your community, man, like, there's no better rapper to listen to than that dude right there, man. Like, he was really dropping them jewels. You know, just, you know, go back to the marathon, you know, and just really even before the marathon, he was still dropping those jewels for real. But like, you seen a transition from the time when the marathon came out, the marathon mixtape came out, to Victory Lap. You saw the transition to where he was before to being real intentional and directing and putting you in it and forming his brand and formulating the ideas behind the brand, man, is very, very, very motivational. And like you said, he's dropping those jewels, man, the ones that you can really use. Like, all the best rappers always drop jewels in the music. Please don't never forget that. All the best rappers always drop jewels in the music. And if you go back and listen to Nip, man, like, he got so much game in there that you could use and apply to your life. It's really crazy. Yeah.
And that's why we gravitated to it when we did, because we was on it. That's the same path, you know what I mean? Trying to make something out of nothing and trying to grind and try, you know what I'm saying? And trying to create something for ourselves and for our family. And the music just aligned with what was going on in our lives, and it still do. You know what I'm saying? That shit is a map to success. It really is.
Yeah, man, it's really the soundtrack to, you know, locking in on something, and you know, the a lot, you know, we always listen to music when we go to the gym. You got that gym playlist to get you, you know, to get you pumped up, to get you ready to exercise. You know, we got those songs that we go to, you know, that we listen to when we going through something. We're in an emotional space. We got those songs, those go-to songs that we listen to that's really speaking to the situation and how we feel. But when you listen to Nip, you really are in the space of somebody who is like, yo, I'm creating something from nothing. This is for the, you know, this is for the somebody who gonna go for something. This is for somebody who wants something. This is for somebody who gonna hustle for something, who gonna sacrifice to get to where they want to be. They got a vision in life and they want to execute. They got ideas. They want to bring those ideas into reality and turn it into something, man. Like, he's the soundtrack for that type of music.
Man, I was so locked in. I remember when I first went to LA back in 2016, bro, I got off the plane. I told a person that picked me up from the airport, I said, take me to Marathon right now. That's the first place I went when I got off the plane in LA. Cause I'm like, yo, I gotta meet this nigga. You crazy. Know what I mean? It was, you know, that's how crazy it was. He won't dare, but that was, you know, that was the plan.
Yeah, so, man. Look, that's how much, know, his music is resonating, it, man. It was resonating. It was hitting. It was hitting. Yeah. It was really speaking to us, man. Like, man, he really put it, he really left behind a real, real catalog for us, man, to teach us, to, like you said, almost a blueprint in a way, you know, to really how to get to it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Rest in peace, Nip. You know what I mean? He gone, but he left a lot behind for us, more than enough. So, job well done, man. I remember seeing Sam last week. I think it was last week with the Marathon Burger.
Yeah, he opened that up, Marathon Burger. I think, it was last weekend. He did the ribbon cutting and all that.
Yeah, man. It's just another extension on what Hustle was doing. You know what I'm saying? I know he'd be proud of that. I'm sure Sam, he got other stuff, you know, coming in the future too. But it's just an extension of Hustle, man. And It goes back to all money in, no money out. They still following that same blueprint. It's a model of consistency. And at this point, it's undeniable.
Yeah, man, look, the structure that they done created and the foundation that they laid, where you can really see, you know, from, you know, the from the smoke shop to, you know, the music in itself, the label, how he built the label up, all the businesses that he opened, all the ideas that he was bringing in, all the people that he was partnering with, and also, you know, how he used the, you know, his team, the people that, you know, he was with, you know, he had people that he was with. He empowered those people, and they really moved like a unit, you know what I'm saying, to really push something and build something. And you could see the dividends and how everybody was moving. Like, you know, they all had extensions and different, you know, they all was moving on their own accord, but it was all with, you know, it was still a collective. You know, like, it's a great example. Yeah.
Yeah, hustle up behind a bunch of bosses. And you remember when he did the $100 mixtape, man? That shit was unheard of.
Yeah, man. I had feelings about that at first. I'm like, $100? What you talking about, man? Ain't no music worth no $100. I don't know what you talking about.
Yeah. That shit worked to the fullest extent, to the max. Exactly what he was doing.
I believe you was the one that told me or had seen that he had used the idea from the $100 cheese steak and flipped it onto the $100 mixtape. And I was like, damn, you know, when you at first, you know, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, man, Nip, who gonna buy a CD for $100? Like, that sound crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, music is free right now. This is that piff. You know, we in that Piff era. You know what I'm saying? Like, music is free. Like, drop the mixtape. Like, what are you talking about? But, man, how he put it together and the marketing behind it, it was genius, man. Like, it was real inspiring, man. That was a very inspiring time right there, man, where he just created a proud to play platform, changed the whole game, changed the way everything was done. Like, man, inspirational, man.
Yeah, he shook up the market right there. Behind that book he had read, I can't name it. Think of the name of the book. I know Jonah Berger wrote it. I've read the book.
Yeah, Contagious.
You read the book. Yeah. Maybe we should. We probably should do get people like a book of the week or something like at the end of every show. That's just something to start up.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, because you know, you done read a lot of books. I done read a lot of books. A lot of books that Nip read. I done read, I'm sure you have too.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Why not just continue? Matter of fact, I would just do it right now. Shit. Now think about it. Why should white guys have all the fun?
Go
get that book, read that book, get the audio, listen to it. I'm trying to think of the author. His name ain't ringing the bell, but I done read the book 3 times. I just drew a blank. But and I listened to the audio book once. And First Black Billionaire. That's who it's about.
That's tough.
Yeah, he has a building named after him. The law building actually at Harvard. I'm gonna kick myself when I get off this because his name gonna pop up in my head. Why should white guys have all the fun? Go get the book. You know what I mean? I stand by it for sure. So that's the book of the week. You know what I mean? I just came up with that on the fly.
I like that idea, man. We do a lot of reading for sure. So like that's definitely a dope idea, man. You know, book of the week. You know, I like that, man. We gonna start integrating that into the podcast for sure, man. Definitely got a lot of joints I want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? I need to get that one you talking about right now, though, for sure.
Yeah, bro. I'm going to say it again. Why should white guys have all the fun? go get that. Get that shit right after you finish listening to it. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, man.
Very, Very, very interesting life. Very motivational. You're going to love it. You know what I'm saying? The story is incredible. The man started out as a college football player. He ended up buying and selling a bunch of businesses. He was an attorney. He's gone on now. He's transitioned. But, yeah, that book is about his life. And I'm going to read it again. Shit.
Yeah, man, I'm going to tap into that, man. I'm definitely going to tap into that. Because why should white guys have all the fun, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, man, it's time to turn this thing around and do something different, man. Like, you really
got
to...
In fact, I got Google for me, bro. Why should I... I mean, I'll just Google this joint. You know, we got Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, bro. Reginald Lewis. Yeah, Reginald Lewis. The first black billionaire, Reginald Lewis. Get that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Before we go, man, look, we got to make sure that we're putting all money, like all money in, all money out is a motto. You know, it's something that you have to, we got to start living by. You know, we got to start putting our money in the right places, you know. High yield savings accounts. If you're going to put your money in the bank, please put your money in high yield savings accounts. This is going to give you an alternative to your standard savings account that's not making no money for you. Like, you just putting money into the bank that's not making no money. You know, please put it in a high yield savings and get that 3-4%, you know, return on the you know, on your money. You know, this, you know, like we talked about, man, being intentional, you know, getting into ETFs. Please get into ETFs. It's just a way to grow your money over time. Like, these, a lot of these ETFs are mirroring they're mirroring a lot of the Fortune 500 companies. And you know, these are long-term investments. These are long-term plays where you want to start the money that you're saving, you're putting it into these investments, so that it will grow, so that over time you can accumulate wealth. And when you start doing these things, pass that information on to the people that's in your immediate circle and the people that's around you, so that we can really embody the all money in, no money out. Like, we really want to start spending all our money with each other, because that's the way it's supposed to be. We want to keep the dollars circulating inside the community for as long as possible. Like, it's got to be intentional. It's got to be focused. It's got to be, that has to be what the future looks like, so that we can put the next generation on to what we're doing, so that they can start seeing the changes when they start to hit our age, and then their children, they can instill that in them and pass that information on. Like, this is something that we really got to get into, that we really have to start applying all this information. Like, it's that time, man. Like, that's the only way we're going to see substantial change in the wealth gap.
Yeah, yeah. And like you talk about the high-yield savings account, if you're going to do that, look at Black Bank first. You know what I mean? See what's out there. A lot of these banks, they even got deposit bonuses. So you can, off the rip, have a few hundred dollars off top to match what you're putting in. But other than that, man, hey, you got anything else?
Nah, man, just, you know, we're gonna keep this thing going, man. I hope y'all loving the podcast. You know, we this is something that we're doing to try to provide, try to spark change, try to help change, man. So we hope you tapped in. Please share the podcast to everybody, man. Get the word out. You know, tap in, man. We appreciate everybody that's been supporting us the whole time. You know what I'm saying? Supporting everything that we do. Yeah. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, this first week, people been reposting, commenting, just being a part of the conversation, man. So we appreciate that, and we want to just keep it going. For the people that tuned in and watched the full episodes on YouTube, everything is posted on Mondays. So the full episode will be posted on our YouTube, and you can follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts too, and it will be up on Spotify Podcast as well tomorrow. So, you know, if you got one of them other phones and you got Spotify, you don't got Apple Podcasts, you can grab that from Spotify Podcast. All right, so let's keep it growing. Let's have a strong week. Let's keep our eye on these tariffs. I think they're off right now, right? he called it off right now.
Yeah, I think he had a change of heart based on how the market was performing. You know, that's my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm not into politics, but I believe that he had a change of action or a change of course due to the market and how it was performing. And once you start pissing off people in important places, they're going to start flexing their power. And I think that's really what we're starting to see. So hopefully, let's just, at least hope that we can get this thing going in the right direction, man. Hopefully, but like while the market is down, while we're seeing those, like we got to execute right now, man. Please execute. Please put some money to the side to put for long-term investing, man. It's important.
Yeah, if you're going to hop in, NVIDIA is the play. That's what we're looking at this week. NVIDIA is the play once again, man. Episode 2, signing off. All money in, no money out.
No. Shout out to Nip, man.
Yeah, man. Neighbor. Put.